Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Mamma Mia. Wild Ride. Wild Ride getting to the studio today.
Yeah, maybe a pogo ride might be
a little, nuts, a little up and down. So you're used to pogo things like the kangaroos from Australia.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a certain thing that you do when you're about 6 or 7 and you just go on your first sort of kangaroo ride in the pouch.
Isn't it? I thought it was really mucousy in there.
No, no. It's actually quite snug, and they have a headphone jack, and this is all to prepare you for the ultimate horror, which is the drop bears right. that really have to deal with between the ages of 8 and 10.
You and I both know goddamn well that mucousy and snug are not mutually exclusive adjectives.
No, that's true. That's true. I could feel snug in a mucousy sort of
environment
pocket.
All right. Welcome to Unfixed. I am Adam. I'm here with the Honorable Toby Hallam.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing? So we are here tonight. We are live. It is September 1st, the first day of fall, Toby.
Yeah, absolutely. And I could tell it because we were looking around amongst ourselves here in the studio and going, fuck, it's dark.
So dark, so autumnal. Little brown crusty leaves scraping along the sidewalk in the wind, you know, in the autumnal breeze. Now, just to clarify, the 1st September is not in any way, shape, or form the first day of autumn in any calendar period. However,
but it feels like it should be.
Right, because it's September, October, November. That's autumn.
Okay. And we're basically in Ireland, and in Ireland, I suspect that anything basically after midsummer is autumn.
Right. And additionally, today is the first day you can get the pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks here in Ireland, the first time we've ever had anything before the U.S.
PSL.
PSL season has begun, as my producer, Nina, has so eloquently sent to me via Snapchat or something that I don't use, but also...
Yeah, I think they cracked the plastic seal off the PSL tub. For her.
Thank you for tuning in tonight here on Unfixed. We are here tonight with a pretty cool guest. We've got Emma Doran. She's promoting her show Liga, Lube and a Bottle of Gin, which is at the Tiger Dublin Fringe Festival from September 19th to the 24th. It's actually at the International Bar, part of the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, we were there just the other day, actually.
Yeah, we went to check out Emma's show, and we laughed ourselves silly. Silly!
Quite silly. In fact, maybe even insane.
Stitches. Yeah, you know when you go to comedy shows and then you get singled out and the MC starts talking to you?
The absolute, you know, horror of audience participation.
You know, I'm like, you know how that happens to you? I mean, you don't remember how that happened to us like a week ago? It's like, anybody here not from Ireland?
Fuck.
We've got a German, an Aussie, a Canadian, and a Yank.
Yeah, stereotypes much.
Yeah, like no material to work with there. So yeah, we spent our time. But it was a really, really good time. It's an intimate venue upstairs. I don't know if the gig's actually held upstairs or downstairs. We'll save those questions for Emma, who will be on later in the show. Emma Doran, everybody.
Yeah, she's chilling out in the green room right now.
She's in the green room now, kicking back, eating nachos, drinking gin and tonic.
Yeah.
Toby, what else can the listeners expect?
Oh right, well we've got some of our you know classics coming up again. Ooh. We've got the.
I like how they've become classic.
Well, I mean, it was a classic before you and I even started. We've got the publisher, the freaking publisher.
We've got a voicemail from my wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher. He calls, he leaves me voicemails. I don't answer them, so I can play them for the benefit of the listeners here on Unfixed. And I've got a new one.
Yep.
It's a cracker. I have heard it. I've listened to it a little.
All right. Well, I mean, we also have, and this is a bit of a plug for our sister podcast, mm-hmm. and maybe it's kind of in vitro sister in mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. it's inside us all.
Right.
Shower Talk.
Yeah, Shower Talk's coming up later. We can expect that. We have a call-in guest for Shower Talk. We've got Chad Keaveney.
International, I hear.
Yeah, resident artist calling all the way from, what is it, Marseille, I think?
Toulouse.
Oh, Toulouse. Yeah, I get those two confused.
Yeah, but France, so who cares?
Somewhere that's not Paris in France. And so Chad's going to be calling in on Shower Talk, the show about talking about showering.
Yeah.
Inside and the show. The show inside the show. The show in the show.
Yeah. Hamlet would be proud.
Yeah, because tumorous.
So we also have the scary news, sorry.
Oh, the scary news, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We also have your good friend Andrea Lorien with 90 Seconds.
Yes, Andrea's going to call in and do 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien.
What else? Oh, we'll have my usual sort of contribution of dark history. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But to tag that off, we also have Adam with something that we've just been knocking around a few ideas, mm-hmm, and yes. We have vaguely in our mind the...
We're working it in the lab.
The past, future, history...
The history of the dark future history. The history of the future.
The history past.
Past, history, future.
Back to the future?
No, future in the historical future.
Historical future of
is
yes.
what we're going for.
Okay.
And that's coming up later.
And that's going to be an exciting piece of spaghetti.
It is indeed.
And we're also, it's a little bit old now, but we did go for a walk.
Ah, yeah, we did. We did go for a walk. And you know what happened, Toby? This is after we went to the Mr. Burlesque Ireland show in the Tivoli Theater.
And an intake of breath.
Yeah, and we went out and we did some interviews. And what wound up happening was that my microphone was commandeered. And somebody else, his name is Kian, he took my mic and went off and interviewed other people.
An excited young jackrabbit
We've got a bit of that. And we can do that any old time, man. You just tell me what you want to bang off, and we'll get banging.
Yeah, we'll just shoot that into the existence.
Yeah. Do you want to check that out?
Let's see what that freaking lunacy was, because I remember a little bit about seeing a burlesque show, and then some other sort of strangers came up.
It's true, and then he took my mic, okay? And so this is going to be really challenging for you to understand what is being spoken, because he doesn't have amazing skills. This is Kian now. He took our mic, he commandeered. The going for a walk segment is when we take the show to the people. Now, we took the show to the people, and then one of the people took the show from us.
Boom.
I just realized that, and right? And so Kian took the show on his own. He ran his own little thing. It is called Going for a Walk here with Kian, the guy I don't really know who took my microphone and interviewed a bunch of people. The first thing he said was, I stole a microphone. Let's go for a wander, just to set the stage, okay? So here we are with Going for a Walk here on Unfixed.
I'm going for a walk.
I stole a microphone. All right, let's have a wander and see what we find. Ladies and gentlemen, two people who look like they belong. How's things?
Does that work?
Yeah, I stole from some guy.
What would you like to hear? A bit of Christy Moore or something?
Another Christy Moore.
The early age of 38, me mother sent me west. Get up, she, and get a job, says I, I'll do me best. Well, I pulled on me Wellingtons to march to Kilchimock. But I took a wrong turn in Charlestown and ended up in Knock.
Oh, I gotta go. So there's another random group of people over here that I've gone over to interview with this random microphone that I just found. Hi.
Yeah, shit on beauty.
Shit on beauty.
Shit on beauty.
I'm gonna shit on the patriarchy.
Yeah. Because they like that, apparently.
In certain circles.
You gotta be in the shit circle. It doesn't work.
Someone went, oh, you need a proper use of semicolon. And he went, I want a semi in my colon. I mean, no, wait, no, that's exactly what I don't want.
And now he's sex dick for 5 years on Moore Street. Don't meet him there. He's a great guy.
It's okay. That's, if you want that, it's fine. He's like, no, I'm straight, I swear.
It's okay to be gay. I just found this microphone 20 minutes ago. How are everything going over here?
Could we make, like, animal impressions?
Well, that may have been misconstrued there, but okay.
Painting call of the African wombat.
Sorry, he's a bit hoarse. What's up? Move over. Hi, sir. How's things?
Very well.
Need funny animal sounds.
Kaka! Kaka!
Oh!
No, it's very personal.
It's like you're in the African jungle. You've been great, crack, as always. Always bet on the Welsh for a bit of fun.
Over and out.
Well, this has been more Random Strangers with Keen, and I should probably give this back to Adam so I can go home. So, everybody, let's say goodbye from our host. She's a mute. See you all later. Everything I say, please put in echo.
Please put in echo.
I want it to reverberate.
I want it to reverberate. I want it to reverberate. I want it to reverberate.
I'm going for a walk.
Right, Kian taking the show and running with it in his own little direction, huh?
Absolutely. It puts everything that we've previously done in context.
To shame or just...
I don't know. I mean, amount of work for this show.
That is true. That was an editing job in about 300,000.
Yeah, that was like an hour of material that you edited down to
48
that
minutes, yeah.
Relatively consumable bite of... But when you come home and then you're sort of like, oh, I better go to sleep, and you go to sleep and you wake up and you realize you're too drunk to remember anything, just sort of transplant that experience into your heads.
Right. Yeah, just you can take that little bit of the show out at any time, and then you can just play that back and be like, that's basically what happened last night, and you'd be damn close.
Yeah, this is a cure to the fear.
Yeah. What did I say last night? Oh, it was a bunch of random nonsense. People started going, caw-caw, caw-caw, and we're good. You're clear.
Yeah. Was it incriminating? No.
No. Yeah, you're fine. Unfixed helps with the fear. It's actually one of our taglines. It helps with the fear. True story. It helps with the fear, Sonny. So, all right, going for a walk with Kian. Thanks for that, Kian. I hope you listened, because you did a lot of work. Got a lot of leg work in.
Absolutely.
He's a good guy. Good guy. Friend of the show, Kian, everybody.
Random acquaintance of the show.
So, Toby, I think it's time to go back in time with your dark history. You didn't come up with a theme song still, right?
No. I was listening.
Month after
but
month.
I just kind of like month turned out there month. Were things that I liked that weren't really to do with history.
Right. Okay. Well, sure. Screw it. It doesn't have to be lyrically appropriate. It just has to be mood music.
Perhaps. All right. Okay. Next time I'm coming back. Next time.
Gotcha. All right. So you were bringing us a story from when? When can we go? When can we expect to? I got to nestle in here. I got to get comfy. Okay. Go.
I kind of sort of jump around in history a little bit here until basically you cut me off. and there's this kind of coprophilia kind of tone that
What's
we've been
that
having
mean?
A bit. The love of shit.
Oh, wow.
And
did
so,
you look that up or did you know that?
I knew that one,
okay,
actually.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
But I sort of thought, we'd have these discussions in shower talk about my apparently abhorrent, aberrant
behavior
when I stand up to wipe my butt.
Yeah, I believe that it's unnormal. It's not normal. It's atypical.
And so I delved into history to find out how people wipe their butt.
So this was the impetus.
Time.
Wait, this was your research thesis. People sit down or people stand up? What was the thesis?
Well, the thesis was, what do people wipe their butts with and how do they wipe their butts?
Okay. A deep dive.
And so I started out. Let's there's a lot of people who like Japanese, and so let's sort of start out here. In the 8th century there was a certain description that they used a type of stick called a chugi. That was about 20 to 25 centimeters long.
Mm-hmm.
And the description I have here is that it was used for both external and internal cleaning of the anal canal.
Okay, yes. So this was an innie and an outie.
I guess so. And let's continue on these unanswerable questions. Because, within Buddhism, there's like this, what's the sound of one hand clapping?
Uh-huh.
And there's a question with no answer. And you're supposed to sort of, quiz upon that and think about that. And so there's actually quite a famous question about the nature of Buddha that comes out of these koans here.
I'm sure that was a really good segue. The Japanese thing that you wipe your ass with and stick up your asshole is now and the mystery of life.
And so it's always about a question to the master and an answer from the master or something like that. And so the student says, "Master, what is Buddha?"
Right.
Because they're trying to figure out
the
intrinsic understanding.
They want to know the answers to the test so they can pass.
Yeah, and so the master answers, importantly, a dry shit stick. And so shit stick I'm interpreting from chugi. And so let's think about it. In fact, let's not think about it. Let's go on.
I could not help but. It overwhelmed all my senses, and I think I had a bit of an adrenaline release.
and the final one was to talk about, and this, I think, was the clincher. We have to think, we're going to bring your mind back to the ancient Romans and a description of how they would do their business.
Right.
Seneca, who was a sort of famous philosopher and poet from the second century, I think he was Nero's teacher, and he talked about the fact that they would use this thing that was called a tessorium, which was basically a sponge attached to a stick.
Isn't that the same thing as the Japanese thing?
But there's the added technology that they added a sea sponge to it.
Okay, because pictured a wet rag or something hanging on the end of the Japanese one.
Oh, no, I think the Japanese one is just a fucking
branch.
Stick. Yeah. Okay. But the fact is...
It's not really that far evolved from, like, chimpanzees, is it?
No, not a lot. I mean, the tool, but yeah.
But chimpanzees use tools. Like, they stick the long stick down the ant hill to
get
the ants out.
Yeah, but they don't stick the stick up their butts. I mean, as far as I understand.
Yeah, I approve it.
Please, if anybody out there knows if chimpanzees stick up their butts,
I guarantee
please
that's
call
happened.
In.
We don't need you to call. I know for a fact that has happened. That has
definitely
happened
at some point. Yeah, in the history of time, most things.
Guaranteed. Anyway.
The Romans were big fans of using a rag on a stick.
Uh-huh.
And they would sort of rinse that out in a bit of sort of vinegar and water.
Yeah.
But if you have a look, their toilets are sitting down on a hole, and there's another hole in the front. And that hole in the front is for sticking the stick through and wiping your butt.
Okay, getting in there and really, you know, agitating the drain hole. It's like a reverse plunger, ultimately, isn't it?
Yeah.
In many ways, philosophically.
Yeah, I think
more,
so.
Really.
What, I mean, this segment or just...
Yeah, right. I think you mentioned, you were telling me that you were going to bring something about toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. So, toilet paper hasn't always been the way it is. Okay. I mean, Aristophanes talks in one of his plays. He's one of the Greeks from the Democracy of
you
Greek.
You can tell me anything. I know you're like, uh-huh.
And he talks about this thing called pesoi, which means pebbles.
Right.
And so, you know, he's referring to this classic Greek saying, which is, three stones is enough for anyone.
Right.
And so they're basically saying that to wipe your butt, you only need three stones.
Okay.
And an interesting sort of bit of English development is that you know the word ostracized.
Sure.
And so you
cast
sort of
out of a group,
shun so. People. Yeah, yeah. So this comes from this Greek ceremony called ostraca, mm-hmm. where the whole city would get together and they would write down the name of a person on a piece of clay, uh-huh. like an old bit of a pot.
Okay.
And they would all vote, and if the majority of the city, you know, 6,000 people, found out that this person was a dick, then he would be ostracized. He would have to leave the town for 8 years.
Okay.
And so what you'd do was then they would recycle those bits with the dick's name on it,
uh-huh.
and they would use those as pesoi. So they would wipe their butts with the name of the guy who nobody liked.
That's not nice. That's not nice to be thinking about when you're wandering the wastelands looking for little, you know, bugs to eat. And
absolutely,
like
but this is the first recorded description
so
of
mean.
Toilet paper.
So mean. Okay.
Toilet
and
rocks.
It had the Outcast name on it. You know, this is good stuff. Swear to God, a theme song and you are bona fide.
Damn it, I might even have another podcast within a podcast.
Yeah, we can release every segment as its own podcast. We can. So right, not in response or not a shadow of or an echo of Toby necessarily, but I wanted to bring you something that I found, and this is the segment that I'm not necessarily actually going to run with. This is a once off, probably, I think, at least so far. And this is the dark vision of future history.
And past.
History from the past, or future from the past. History. So this is what people thought the future was going to be like in the past, okay? So this is a Mondale ad from, I believe, the 80s. It's an anti-Reagan ad. And it's just a little insight into the times. I just want to like set the tone a little bit. You see what I'm talking about?
Fuck.
Skynet is live. All right.
Ronald Reagan is determined to put killer weapons in space. The Soviets will have to match us, and the arms race will rage out of control. Orbiting, aiming, waiting, with a response time to fire so short, there'll be no time to wake a president. Computers will take control. On November 6th, you can take control. No weapons in space by either side. Draw the line at the heavens with Mondale.
And then the RoboCop thing, Toby.
Just to put us in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, this is technology winning. See, Terminator is technology winning, but RoboCop is technology winning for people.
This is why I love the 80s shitty action movies. There's this kind of vague, you know, we can win it. You know, there is an objective homoerotic nature to them.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched on that truth. So that's what the future was going to be like in the 80s, okay? And then, you know what, with that candidate, their like stump position was no nukes in space. You know what? The people who are pro nukes in space won in the end.
Well, that ad fucking sold me on nukes in space faster than the president
other
can
way
react.
Around. That was supposed to be anti-nukes in space. I think you got it all wrong.
Yeah, maybe I'm a child of a different decade.
Right winger. We got a Reagan supporter over here. No, stop it. No nukes past the heavens. No nuclear weapons in space with Mondale.
Draw a line in the sky.
You know what I mean? All right. So, okay, we're going to try to bring in our friend Andrea Lorien to do her segment, Toby. 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien.
Oh, yeah, I know her. Mm-hmm. I've never met her, but I know her.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she does it every month. She calls in. She gives us 90 Seconds of Andrea, and I'm just going to bring her in via Skype. Please be patient. This is challenging.
Hello.
Right. Hello, Andrea. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. Great. All right. So, Andrea, welcome to the show. As always, we're here to do 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien, the segment in which we give you a topic and you just go batshit crazy and just do stream of consciousness, full monologue from the hip, from the top of your head, right?
Yep.
All right, and so you've decided on a topic. What is the topic going to be this week? This month?
It's going to be Gene Wilder.
It's on Gene.
Yeah.
You've taken a somber tone. Are you sure you can do a 90 seconds with Andrea Lorien about Gene Wilder?
Oh, I'm pumped. I just wanted to sound in that moment like I was being respectful. Okay.
Well, you know, it came across the way you were hoping. All right, so let's just get into it. Here we go. 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien here and on Fixed. Subject is Gene Wilder. And all right, here we go. Do your dance, do your dance, do your dance. Quick, mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word of word up. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you've got to get it underway. Word up.
Guys, Gene Wilder died. This is so super sad. He was the real Willy Wonka, not this Johnny Depp nonsense. Ugh, don't let the young, stupid millennials tell you that Johnny Depp was Willy Wonka. He was not. It was Gene Wilder the whole time. What makes me really sad about the Gene Wilder thing is, like, he lost his wife super young. Are you guys aware of Gilda Radner? Because you should be. She was on the original cast of Saturday Night Live, and she was so fucking amazing. She was Rosanna Dana. She was Baba Wawa. She was so fucking hilarious. She was kind of like my comedy idol, but, like, anyway, she had cancer in the late 80s, and they were married. Okay, so first of all, they fell in love, and they were going to have a baby. That's the thing no one talks about. I read her cancer memoir when Bossy Pants was all booked up at the library. I'm like, well, I can't read Bossy Pants right now because the list for Bossy Pants is like 500 people long. So I'll read another comedy book. I'll read Gilda Radner's memoir, It's Always Something, except It's Always Something is about cancer. So that was not funny. But it was still good because she's amazing. So here's the thing. She was trying to get pregnant because she wanted a baby, but she couldn't get pregnant and she was having all this pain, and it turned out she had ovarian cancer. The 80s were terrible for a lot of people, including women, because they didn't, like, know what ovarian cancer was back then. Or, like, they did, but they didn't care until, like, the last fucking second, which is what happened to Gilda Radner. She was only 42. And, like, 42 seems like a long way away when I read her book originally, because I was, like, 26 back then. But I'm 31 now. 42 is not that far away.
Thanks, Andrea.
She had a lot to say. I was excited to hear that. I mean, in fact, sad to hear that Gilda Radner had died.
Yeah, she died of ovarian cancer in the 80s. And the 80s were tough for a lot of people, including women, because they didn't know about ovarian cancer. Actually, they did, but they didn't do shit about it till the last second. And that's what happened to Gilda Radner.
I think John Belushi as well.
So, thanks, Andrea. You know, when her time is up, her time is up.
Yeah, sometimes.
She only gets so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's 90 seconds. It's not 93 seconds.
It's better than 15 seconds of fame.
That's all you get. She's a diva. She's famous. She'll always be famous.
Yeah, yeah. I think we have some other divas that we generally have on the show as well. People who should probably be published themselves.
I don't know. I think he actually wanted to become a writer at one point. A couple of years ago, he said he wanted to become a writer. I think you're alluding to the publisher.
Yeah.
This is my nervous in the service, wacky, quirky publisher. He's my book publisher. I've been trying to get a book published for some time now. And, yeah, he calls me and he tries to get in touch with me about the proofs and the rewrites and the edits that I keep. I'm sorry I keep being redundant, but we have new listeners every month. And
it's a long and twisted process to get a book published.
It's been going on for a long time. And, right, so he calls and I see it's his number, my publisher, and I don't answer the phone so that I can have the voicemail. Because I've learned it's not bad, and I want to play it on the show here for the listeners. Because
he's a bit
intense
to sort of listen to in person and sort of have a conversation with.
I've never, not once, spoken to him, and I don't really ever plan on doing so. He's a good guy. He's a friend of the show, even though he does not know it. We share his voicemails. He's my nervous in the service, wacky, quirky publisher. And let's play his voicemail, huh?
Do it.
Let's play his voicemail.
Thank you. this is your publisher, Adam. Ah, I just got your latest package in the mail today. And wow, that's what I'm talking about. That's hot stuff, Adam. Last week, you sent me literal garbage. But this week, you sent me real writing from a rising young literary star. I want to go over some of the new material with you. But first, I'll tell you what I've been up to. Last night, I was at a bar filled with anxiety about our book, Adam. And I was angry with you, too. So I'm sitting near a TV that had a small sign on it. There were lots of TVs. And it said, please do not change channel. Well, something in me just snapped, Adam, and I changed the channel. Immediately, the jukebox shut off, and two tough-looking men yelled, hey, you can't do that, one said. And I said, but the sign seemed like more of a suggestion. And the bar went into an uproar, Adam. One of the men advanced towards me and said, that's not allowed here. You're not allowed to do that. Which reminds me of the scene in your book where there's small boys. They're playing ball in the park, Adam, when a cop comes and tells them that they have to stop. All the boys leave and bike home sadly, and then the cop gets in his car and drives away, and it begins to rain. You wrote that you observed this in a park one day recently, and it made you think. Now that's good stuff, Adam. But what did it make you think? Don't you think that something is missing here? Don't you have a weird feeling when I tell you my story about the TV, and don't tell you what happened next? What happened to the boys? What did the cop do next? What does it all mean, Adam? Now, in another section of your new draft, you update Richard Dawkins' idea about the selfish gene, where he urges us to see animals as survival vehicles for genes. But you say no, genes are not the unit of natural selection. Bodies are survival vehicles for skeletons. Imagine birds, you say. When you see a bird flying in the sky up there, pretend it's just the heart. That's a heart in the sky up there. The bird is just to get the heart into the sky so that we can have hearts in the sky. At an even deeper level, you say here, skeletons are cool, and we can suppose that the purpose of life, if you will, is so awesome skeletons who cannot move on their own can go from place to place. Adam, wow, this is great, great stuff. You're proposing a Halloween-based theory of evolution, and right in time. I would like to see you develop this even more. We can run it by our science editor and our paganism editor. Okay, the Pomo editor, he clapped like a seal when I showed him, and then we stood here grinning in my hot office. Yeah, the Pomo editor has some ideas for the book too. He proposed shipping it in a frozen block of solid ice, but I vetoed this one. I said, quote John Smith, unquote, what about shipping costs? What about shelf space? Then he suggested mailing the book to customers one page at a time. We are thinking about that, maybe about 8 pages a day in separate packages. It's not as expensive as you'd think, and research shows that people read about 4 to 8 pages right before bed if they're heavy drinkers and drug users, which is one of your main demographics. But the problem is that those drunks don't want to open 8 mailers at night. We don't know about that one. But perhaps the most forward-thinking idea the Pomo editor had is the live reader idea, Adam, where a man clad in a black hooded gown comes into your bedroom at a set time through the unlocked front door and reads you to sleep. This would be sort of a contract Uber setup. Oh, where we just do a background check and then check for vocal sonority. And there's an app that shows the closest readers. Then he talked about a version of the book that gives you a rash, but we didn't follow up on that idea. Yeah, I don't know what this book is about, but I like it. I've been getting ready. I shaved my head to make myself more aerodynamic. And I've been eating a lot of alphabet soup, Adam. I only covered about 20% of the new material in this voicemail. But I'm excited about the profundity of what you're exploring. A new theory of evolution? The problem of authority? Hearts and bones and police cops, Adam. I love it. I'll be in touch. Bye-bye.
To listen to your message again, press 1. To save it and move on.
All right, everybody.
An absolute new wave of publishing.
Yeah. The Pomo editor, his name is actually... And you can he works at the publishing office there, and he comes up with some good ideas from time to time. He apparently liked the idea of my idea of skeletons are the only purpose of existence and the only reason people and animals exist at all.
Yeah,
is to get awesome skeletons.
A Halloween based theory of evolution. Yes, it's we've been looking for it for a long time.
It's true. Listen, I dutifully give a shout out to the show's sponsor. If you want to become a sponsor of the show, you give one of us money. And when we pay the bills, we have a couple of bills for the show. This isn't free, and we sourced a show sponsor this month.
It's not a lot. It's $2.40.
It's €2.40, and that we accept PayPal. And we can take a €2 coin and 2 20-cent pieces.
You can just throw some coins at the window of the house.
Yeah, you can just drive by and throw a €5 note in the front. And if you're from the U.S. and you're a U.S. listener, you know, mail me a fiver, maybe a $5 bill in the mail. This month's sponsor is Niall McAvoy. He's a friend of the show. He's an OTT bro. He's a physicist.
He specifically didn't want us to read out his name.
And is that so true?
Yeah, more or less. He's very shy.
Fuck. I'm sorry, but that's all you get. And also, additionally, to the person who shall not be named, you get me to say anything you want at all. You can just write anything you want down, send it via email, text, tweet, and
yeah,
I will
absolutely
say it.
That's saved up. That's saved up. He can call in another show.
Sure. It doesn't expire. You've got 3 months. So the person... Toby, why did you have me read his name if he didn't want it? I would rather respect his wishes than...
Look, I thought it was funny, and also he had to.
Right. You know what? I think it might be time to go to that wet, soapy box. It's the most fun that you're ever going to have in a hot box without risking an STI. It's that thing that we like to call shower talk, yeah?
Get the water all hot.
Get the water hot, get us hot. It's time for shower talk here on Unfixed. All right, welcome to Shower Talk, the show within a show, the spin-off podcast from Unfixed that came out of the idea that I shower top-down, that I start with the head, and that the dirty water runs down my body, covers my chest, heads south, and I keep washing south, and I brought that up to Toby, and he said that he goes in crotch first, and thus the shower talk began.
We deal with the controversy here.
So it is, and also, you know what, it's about the sudsy warmth and all the joy and fun that the showers really bring to us.
The replenishment when you wake up in the morning and you just don't feel like dealing with this shit anymore.
Yeah, you tell me that you can get up without the promise of hot, running water, and I will tell you that you're a stronger
sick
person than I am. No, you have better metal. You have stronger emotional fortitude, I suppose.
And speaking of stronger emotional fortitude, I think today we have an amazingly emotionally strong guest.
What gave you that idea? He's an artist, and he has a permanent installation here in the Unfixed Studios. He's a paint artist. He's a print artist. Ink. He had an ink phase, which is my favorite part of his.
Like
his
tattoos?
Work. No, it was like a Japanese thing. I don't know. He can explain it to you if you're genuinely
like
interested.
Like a pen.
like what, the knife song, like a pen?
No, I was just thinking ink. You know, that's pens use ink. And
here on Shower Talk, we have a like similar to pens. We have a theme every week. You know, we have a subject because this is a standalone show, Toby, and you know this. this is released, you can go to SoundCloud and search for Shower Talk, and you can only subscribe and listen to Shower Talk. You don't need to listen to Unfixed.
Yeah, no, that's an absolute waste of time.
In fact, I recommend it, yeah. So just go ahead and check out only the good bits, and that happens here in Shower Talk. So today's about Scrubs, okay? So you've heard of Scrubs.
I don't want no Scrubs.
No, who does? Yeah, so when you think of Scrubs, what do you actually think of?
Sponges?
Have you ever heard of that one?
Oh, so I was right with Sponges.
Oh, wait. Were you talking about Zach Braff or what is it?
Yeah.
Are you not a fan?
No, he's fine.
Okay, so we're not talking about that kind of Scrubs. No, we're not. We're talking about this kind. A Scrubs a guy. No, it's a... Sure, of course. That's what you think about when you think about Scrubs. What I think about... It's different. What do you call it? Emulsions? You've got a base, and then you've got a kind of abrasive material mixed in, and you go into your hot soapy shower,
emulsifying.
It emulsifies. So hot. So all right. So okay. So like most scrubs, you know, you've got a base material, and then you effectively you've got some, as I said, some type of abrasive. Now, in many cases, it'll be something that dissolves, like a sugar. Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, as you rub this stuff on your body, it abrases dead skin cells. It exfoliates, Toby.
Oh, but like scrubby bits, like a bit of sand.
Scrubby bits, yes. So, like, the theme of today's show is, yes, scrubs, but it's actually, I don't want no scrubs. Because do you want scrubs? Do you use them regularly?
No, no. I feel like I have to get them all out of my cracks.
Okay. So, like, I myself have had scrubs a couple times. My father used to have... pretty severe, I don't know what you'd call it, you know, a buildup of dead cells on his elbows. I'm pointing to my elbow here.
Right, right.
And, I used to also notice that I would get a buildup of dead cells. And so I purchased a sugar scrub from a pharmacy. Okay. Very luxurious. Nearly €20. And I went in there, I scrubbed it around, I did the little swirls. You can picture this, right? You take this handful of the scrub... And you just go in a circular motion to exfoliate.
Get that shit off.
And and you know, the sugar would then dissolve, and then you're covered in kind of a weird layer of oil, a sugary oil layer.
Yeah, this is like sort of like sandpaper for you.
Do you want that?
No, I mean, you see these things that they sometimes sell on the infomercial channels, where the thing that's going to grate off the skin from your heel. It's right. Like the same kind of thing.
You're in the right method. You're in the right mode of thinking, okay? But I think the truth of the matter is you don't want no scrubs.
No.
No, you'd prefer like a physical device.
Something like that. I'm trying to think of the next line of that fucking song and I can't.
You just want to hear it. You just want to listen to No Scrubs? Because that's possible, dude. It is possible.
Oh, I can hear Left Eye rapping.
Uh-huh. Left Eye's rap is no joke. Now, we do have a call-in guest today. Chad, are you present?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear Toby? Toby, say something to our call-in guest here on Shower Talk, the show about talking about showering.
Hi, Chad.
Hi, Toby. It's good to hear you're back.
Absolutely.
He's back. Now, you can all hear each other. Chad, you don't want no scrubs either, I think.
I've never been a fan of scrubs. Little bits in the soap. Feels a bit weird.
Abrasive bits, right? It's like, you know what? Some that you often use organic bits, like bits of pumice, and often bits of, say, coffee grinds. If you could fathom rubbing coffee grinds on your body while you're writhing in the shower,
like rubbing garbage on your body.
But that's going to stop the lathering.
You know, these are the important questions that we like to bring up here. We should consult some experts. Like, the show is in its infantile stages. All right, so right, like just that question alone, we're going to bookmark that. We're going to talk to some lather versus abrasive scientists. And Toby, you can maybe hook us up with that.
I know some bubble scientists.
The whole lathering question has to do with the kind of water you have.
Okay, wait, explain that to us. What do you mean?
Well, when I started using scrubs was when I was in Warsaw. Because in Warsaw, the water is very hard. There's a lot of metal in it.
Okay, but that means that it's heavy in certain metals, aluminum or sodium or something.
It means that when you put soap on your body, the soap doesn't lather up. It just runs right off you.
And so you have to add salt. Is that how it works? Or the other way around? I don't know how the world works.
I found that having a scrub, I prefer the synthetic ones, a sponge.
Right. You're describing a physical object you hold and then rub up against your body.
Exactly.
Okay, so you don't want an actual like an emulsified polymer of different little abrasive bits mixed with your lathering agents.
I don't want anything.
We don't want those scrubs.
I was trying to think about that. Abrasive. I think that's the word that I was trying to get at.
Okay.
Before.
Toby was trying to find the term abrasive. Chad, you were talking to me. I kind of prepped you for this show for here on Shower Talk. Thank you so much for joining us all the way from where the f are you in France again, please?
I'm in Toulouse and I'm off to Berlin tomorrow.
Oh wow, yeah, that's hot. I'm glad you plugged your international traveling jet setting lifestyle.
Absolutely. That's all hot. Over the place.
Yeah, so do you expect to change, like, kind of showering apparatus at all as you move from place to place?
Well, you enjoy what you can get, and some are better than others.
I hear they like use a rag on a stick in Germany.
I thought that was Japan. Is that Germany?
No, it was Italy.
It was Italy. Yeah, we were talking earlier about sticking sticks up a chimpanzee's rectums into their anuses.
But no, I thought that was that not? Yeah, that was Japan.
Yeah, that was originally Japan, and then it turns out the Italians were into it as well.
Okay.
Toby's actually gently trying to wrangle Shower Talk into talking about crapping all the time.
My head's been in a certain space all this week.
Yeah, it's also the opposite of showering is crapping, right?
The opposite of showering is, well, I think that I would not have anybody in my house who craps in the shower.
No. Someone did shit in my bathtub once when I lived in the mill house in Churchtown. That's the true story. I was like, thanks for coming over, guys. Thanks for staying up very late into the night and drinking your Dutch Gold. And in the morning, there's a little spiral cone of shit in my bathtub. Chad, you were talking about your love of essential oils in the shower. Can you tell me a tiny bit about the oils you like to rub on your precious form?
I don't like soap that much.
You're not a soap man.
No, I use these
lie and fat. If you subscribe to the Fight Club kind of idea about soap.
But I'm kind of using these kind of vegetable oils with the kind of scented oils in them. Mm-hmm. And I tried to look at it today to see what it is, and I can't find any here. So I'm using some Neutrogena allergy cream.
Right. Yeah, that's for pimples. That's not soap. That's not for showering. That's not for anything. That's for clearing up your spots on your 12.
Going to sort of project in here.
Toby's got an idea.
We'd had a bit of that sort of history talk before. You know, the Romans used to clean by not actually using soap. They would just sort of get covered in oil, and then they would use these sort of like curved blades to scrape the oil off of them.
Wow.
You know, in the steam bath.
Chad, do you have anything else to add to Shower Talk before we take off?
I think you should talk more in Shower Talk about the differences between countries, because there's so many differences. My best shower experience was in Macau with a toilet in the shower.
Uh-huh. Tell me a little bit more about Macau and
the
how
toilet.
Your time in Macau.
But you can take a dump while having a shower, and at the same time you can leave a book on the edge of the counter where you can wash your hands or whatever.
Right.
And you can read a book while you have a shower and take a dump.
It sounds like a spiritual experience, actually.
Okay, we got to go. Thank you so much for calling in on and Shower Talk, the spin-off podcast to Unfix Radio. We really appreciate it.
I'll keep listening.
Listen, it's coming up. Chad, good suggestion. And we're the next episode, I think, is going to be international showering. Shower experiences we've had in different countries, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's coming up.
Showering with other people. That's always interesting.
Yeah, it was going to be called Shower Time with Toby and Adam. We just wanted to make people cringe in fear.
Well, I think we're going to shower together the next time, and we're going to basically have our guests in the shower. And it's a one-person shower. This is the one upstairs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's the power shower.
No, it's got to be, Toby, you've got to clean Adam's hair. And Adam, you got to do Toby's hair. That's
Look, we there need to work up to something. Jesus, this is for the planning meeting, Chad.
This is the last time I have an artist do anything associated with Unfixed. Like, honest to God. Look what's happened. Chad, thank you so much for being part of Shower Talk, the spinoff podcast of Unfixed Radio, all right? You can check it out on SoundCloud. You can check. Chad, do you have anything you want to plug? You got an installation going right now? Or?
No, but you can see my work on www.chadkeveny. That's Chad, C-H-A-D, Keveny, K-E-V-E-N-Y.com.
And, check that out. All right. Okay. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. And, talk soon.
Bye-bye.
You take care of yourself. We've got Emma Doran. She's here to plug her show. Was it Riga? How do you say it? Liga Lube and a Bottle of Gin. This is September 19th to the 21st at the Fringe Fest. That's the Tiger Dublin Fringe Fest. And that's at the International Bar. So we're gonna bring her in, and we're gonna talk trash. We're gonna talk comedy. We're gonna talk baby food, presumably.
That's what Liga is.
Yeah, baby biscuits, as I learned about. You know, if you Google Liga, you know what you find out about? You find out about Spanish football. It's a league. It's called Liga.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
the Bundesliga.
Threw me off the trail a little bit, but I got back on and it all went just fine. So yeah, now we're going to bring Emma in, and yeah. Hey, all right, thanks for sticking with us. We are here with Emma Doran. Emma Doran, professional comedian here in Dublin. We cut her show a week ago. We had a really good time. She's here to promote her upcoming experience, her visceral experience for the audience. It's called A Liga Lube and a Bottle of Gin, is that right?
That's right, yeah, that's the name of my show.
All right, thanks for coming on the air today.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's really nice to have you come around. So you're doing an hour long set at the Tiger Fringe Festival, is that right?
That is the plan.
Right.
Hopefully it'll be written.
It'll be written by
then.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you don't say on the air.
Oopsie, yeah.
Just for a future effort.
No, it's in the bag. It's done. So
We saw you a week ago. I'm sorry to jump into the material so quickly.
Yeah.
But were you workshopping some jokes that you do?
Yes. So I was in the international.
Is that the term, workshopping? Or when you try a joke out or whatever.
Yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Is that industry slang? Am I in the know by saying that kind of thing? Or am I completely just making an ass out of myself?
No.
More
some people
so
say
normal.
Workshop. I might say, I'm just going to throw in a few new ones, see how they float.
Right,
you know?
Yeah, that's a bit more.
Is there industry slang? Because I always thought sort of stand-up comedians were sort of like lone wolves, lone neurotic wolves.
It is a bit. There's a lot of talk out on the stairs or at the back door.
I noticed that. We wanted to say hi, but when we walked in, you were talking to somebody else, and we didn't want to interrupt, and then we were sitting down, and then you were always talking to somebody, or you were not present. One of the two. So we couldn't squeeze in.
Was it the guy with the beard?
I don't remember. I don't have a what do you call that?
Picture. I don't recall a guy with a beard. I remember an American guy and the other guy.
Yeah, he was from Long Island. This guy, this,
yeah,
did, you hear, did you meet this comedian? He was from Long Island. Did you meet this guy? He was amazing.
Yeah,
he had a great set. He was amazing.
It's not a comedy gig in Dublin if somebody doesn't do an impression of him.
Oh, he's
you know
around.
I mean?
No, I didn't realize that he was a fixture. I thought he was a traveling guy.
No, he's there all the time.
So all right, you're doing an hour-long set now. I can't help but notice that, like, for example, you know, I'm a novice to your work. We came out to see you because we're going to have you on the show, and it's not that I wouldn't have previously. And, you know, being a local, you know, pretty big celebrity, and, you know, whenever I sometimes, you know, we've been doing the show since 2005, as I told you. We only started doing it here in Dublin about a half a year ago about.
Okay,
And when we mentioned who we're having on the air, people are like, oh, that's kind of cool, or people in local scenes. And however, whenever I mentioned you specifically, people lit up and they're like, oh shit, Emma Doran, she's on broadsheet all the time. She's the girl with the makeup tutorials.
This is
the girl.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
For real, yeah. I got an amazing response.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I heard as well. We have a person leaving to go to the UK, and she was desperate to come and see this thing, but sadly left on the plane.
She had to go to
have her friend out in the green room. You've talked to her already.
Because I was talking before the show, and I'm pretty naive when it comes to the internet. Like, I don't really read comments or...
Right, it's smart.
Yeah,
it's the most vitriolic bullshit you'll ever submit yourself to.
Yeah.
Stephen Fry says never ever read comment sections, period. It just drains your soul out of your eyeballs.
Forget but I suppose they kind of say whether it's good or bad, because if you believe the good, then you have to believe the bad as well, don't you? So
that's interesting. I never thought about it like that.
I don't know. I thought humans generally did a good job of just believing the good things.
Look, what?
What? I thought we just generally went, you know, oh, we're all great, things are fine, because...
You're one of the most cheery people I know. Do you know that?
Oh, well, good.
Like, yeah, no, okay, shit. No, it's
somehow
good.
I'm surviving. But they're desperately concerned that I don't have any survival mechanism.
No, you're a happy guy, and actually I admire you, and I strive to be more like you. Did you have a good time when we went out to see Emma's show at the International?
It wasn't a great show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean...
Emma, first thing, you went on first, which is challenging.
Yeah,
isn't
I think
it?
You were definitely working the crowd. The guy had done his best job to get them all hot up for
when
you.
When we say them all, they're talking about us. It was like me and Katrina and you.
I've been singled out as a...
It wasn't...
He's an Aussie.
It wasn't the worst gig, but it was just a bit... like flat.
Yes,
but then I talked to some guys after and they kind of felt the same, but then the rest of the weekend was good. They're kind of like, oh, Thursday night
can
be...
You did a couple nights, did you?
Yeah, so when you do the weekend at the International, it's Thursday, Friday, and then you do two on a Saturday.
Okay,
so you're...
Well, so it's like a contract.
Yeah, you're there for the whole weekend. So I was like, on Thursday, I was like, oh shit.
And you make you get paid for that.
Yes.
Yeah, because I mean, I paid in. I hope you're getting a slice of that stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't say slice. I mean, I'm
crumb.
Getting... Yeah.
A more morsel.
But I think that must be a slightly different sort of, you know, bit of tension or a day than a person who goes to sort of work at the beginning of the day. You know, so it ends at the end of the day. You know, how does the day go when you have to sort of lead up to, you know, doing that, doing to sort of holding everybody's, you know, comedic sensitivities in your palm?
I try not to think about it until kind of... sounds really boring and sad, but until after I've had my dinner, and then once I've had my dinner, I'm like, okay, I'll start thinking about that. I have to go and do that now, because I know some people, it, like, if they have a gig that night, or if they have a gig that they think is important, or they know someone who's perceived to be important is going to be there, they won't do anything that day except think about doing the gig that night.
Does that help if you're trying to be funny?
No, I don't know. I can't imagine. So, well, it's not going to help, but I think once you get there and you get on stage, it all just clicks into place anyway. But yeah, so I try not to think about it too much.
Absolutely. I feel like there's this sort of, must be this growing horror for performance. And how do you offset that? You're saying you eat your dinner without thinking about it. How do you not think about things like that?
Stares blankly at a wall, chewing tasteless food with no emotion or expression.
Just eating paper in a corner.
It might as well be.
Now, once I get into my car to go to the gig, then I start kind of... listen to the radio, or start saying the set out loud and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't think about it all day long.
And I had a thought about your set, because in some ways the kind of the gags that you do are kind of technical in a way that you there's all of the sort of storytelling build up, and then there's the offside sort of there's the sort of switch the tone sort of, you know, gag at the end.
Yeah,
is it word for word, or do you sort of ad lib while you go through it?
No, it's not word for word. I would write like... I have a little comedy book that I write my little jokes in, but they just be bullet points.
Okay.
So I'd know where I'm going, but then I don't like to leave it. I don't want to have it too rigid, because I want to go with the flow.
Absolutely, you know? I think it could be too technical with the
yeah,
the
and then
there.
If somebody says something, I want to be able to react to it or whatever. So I'm talking like it's really thought. But it's not. It's not as thought out and planned as that.
Yeah, but please don't minimize what it takes to do what you do. A lot of people, including myself, would very much like to do what you do, but I don't have the spine. I don't have the guts.
Oh, but
I'd say balls, but you're female, and that's kind of something. I don't have the ovaries. Most
people that come up and talk to you after gigs are people that actually want to do it.
Right.
So I'm always like, oh, just do it, you know, because I think you'll never
just
regret
hit them.
It.
You actually should just slap them back, open hand slap, and be like, Stop taking yourself so fucking seriously and get up there and give it a shot.
Yeah, and I think you'll never regret it.
Yeah, we're working up to the point in which I asked the guest to actually physically hit me. One time a guest hit him with, I shit you not, like a 3 or 4 pound mace. Do you know what a mace is? That
the
medieval
sound
weapon.
Was amazing.
And it pinged off the mic. It pinged off the helmet. Listen,
were they sitting here?
They
or?
Were. Yeah, the guests typically sit there. No, he leaned over and gave him a good whapping. It was awesome. It was one of my favorite moments of all time.
He whacked me right off.
Emma, with your permission, just to give our listeners a tiny bit of context, I'm going to play a tiny bit of a clip that you posted on YouTube.
Okay.
And if that's all right with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so here we go. This is a clip of Emma's comedy. It's one of my favorite bits off the bits that you put up, which are rather brief, but this is my favorite part.
I went to the pharmacy recently, and I was told that there's no antidepressants available over the counter, that you have to make an appointment with your GP. I had just gone in to get eyeshadow. I have no idea I looked that rough. No. But what kind of, I suppose, spurred it on at the moment is my housemates have been giving me an awful time. They've been saying I'm lazy and smoking and drinking too much in the house and, you know, all this crap. But the way I kind of look at it is I wouldn't choose to spend my time with these people normally. You know what I mean? No, but, you know, they're not my friends. They're my children. So it is strictly business, okay? Strictly business. It's kind of awkward on the landing now, like, but I have three children, so I love kids and cock as well. That's what I'm saying, okay? Didn't get those babies by saying prayers, you know what I mean?
No, you don't. You do it with hard work, with gritting your teeth and taking what the man is giving to you, right? As an Irish woman, that's how you have children. Never refuse your husband. That's what they say in Catholic Ireland.
Yeah, that's the church.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, no, there's a tiny bit of one of your sets. And I've noticed that, like, the clips that you put up on YouTube, they're fairly brief. The set you did in front of us on Thursday was fairly brief. This one you've got coming up at Fringe is an hour.
Yeah, it's an hour,
Is this the longest one you've ever done?
I did an hour last year. I did an hour last year kind of as a test. I'm doing stand-up about 3 years.
You were workshopping.
I was workshopping. I was just kind of seeing how it was going, what would happen. Uh-huh. So it went well. So I was like, right, this year I'll come back. I'll try and get into Dublin Fringe. I'll make it like more of a show kind of thing.
Right, an event.
Yeah. I try and put myself out there kind of thing. So, yeah, that was my plan when I filled in the application form.
What went wrong? No, sorry.
Procrastination.
It's been a smashing success. You've got great billing. I mean, like, if you go to the Dublin Fringe website and click on comedians, you're on the front page. I mean, this is a big deal, I think.
I hope. Like,
depends if people show up. I mean, what is it contingent upon? Talk your performance?
Did you get a producer on? Did anybody just sort of be involved in that? It was...
Ask me about this. I was asked this the other day. So I went to this meeting about it and they were like, have you thought
about... Who produces your shit? Oh, Sketchy Productions. They've got it all together.
I was like, have you got a director or like a producer? And I was like,
I've got me, baby.
I was like, no. So...
But I guess that's...
I think I might say it to a comedian that I know to like maybe do it a few times and just see, any suggestions, any pointers, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But maybe not a producer. I'd have to pay them.
I don't know what that means in the comedy world. Like, I know what it means in film. I know what it means in radio. I don't know what a producer does for a comedian. What is a producer doing for a comedian?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know anyone who...
I think
it just organizes the stool and the follow spot. So that's
what or maybe the structure of your jokes, where to put them all.
Sure. Maybe. Okay. So for musicians, like, they listen back, they've got tons of experience, and they're like, say Butch Vig, Nevermind, Nirvana's epic record. Like, Nevermind wouldn't have been Nevermind. Can a person do that for a comedian? I don't personally know.
Yeah, because sometimes even like a comedian has said to me after a gig, oh, you know, with that joke, you should do this. And sometimes I've tried those things and they haven't worked, or, you know, they have. Or
I think you generally give sort of notes to performers, and, you know, sometimes it's the more formal the performance is, the better they can take a note. Because if it's something totally personal, like doing stand-up comedy, then how can you take somebody else's insight and put it into yourself? Because you're pretty much offering yourself up there.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I second that.
Yeah. I mean,
so stuff to think about, Emma. Think about that as you're falling asleep this evening, okay? So, all right. So, I mean, the show is involved with the Fringe, and it's at the International. Is it upstairs? The way we
it's
saw
upstairs,
you?
It's upstairs. Yeah.
Okay. What's with the Comedy Cellar there? What is the sign? There's a sign that says Comedy Cellar, and then we go upstairs.
Okay, so the fact that it's a cellar and it's upstairs.
I'm not sure if it's the same place. I went downstairs. I'm like, where the fuck's the comedian?
Yeah. So the Comedy Cellar is there on a Tuesday and Wednesday night.
That's downstairs.
No, that's upstairs.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It's called a fucking attic. So tell your friends in the scene.
It's very confusing for people.
Give me the email address of the management of the International and I'll straighten this right out.
I think, I mean, it's been long overdue. I think someone needs to speak up about it now.
It's like calling a space elevator a well. I mean,
yeah,
it's completely inaccurate.
And we kind of, like, when people say, oh, I went downstairs, you know, if they're late for a show, I went downstairs for the comedy, and we're like, oh, God, you know. So silly. It's
I got a couple of pints, and the people in the bathroom were funny, as Toby will remind us all.
There is shows downstairs, though. What happened in the toilet?
Yeah, come on, Toby, hold on. Let me turn up your mic. Go.
Look. There was a whole conversation between, and it turned out that I knew the guy who was pissing next to me because he was that American guy who was who had given a comedy crusade in before, and then
this is the new I'm sorry, Long Island.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, what's
his name? Aiden Bishop.
Aiden.
Wow. And then it turned out on the other side was the guy who'd been warming us up as well. And,
we were talking to him later.
So I found myself urinating and complimenting them both on their technique.
To my left, the American comedian, and to my right, the MC. And you did a great job.
One in a bowl, as did you. One in a trough.
So, and you were complimenting them on their technique. Their comedy. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. In hindsight, nice.
It's a comedy
technique. Nice. Okay.
But if I'd seen, I probably would have complimented them on their stream designation.
I mean, this is going to sound like a stereotypical question, but how did you start thinking you might even want to stand up in front of a group of people and attempt to make them laugh? How did you start thinking about doing stand-up?
I think watching, like, my mom watching people like Kenny Everett and Eddie Izzard on TV, like, watching her laugh at those people, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'd love to be able to do that, you know, make people laugh like that. Mm-hmm. So at the start, I suppose the thing that most people find hard is that they do have jokes, but they haven't got enough jokes. And then it's punchlines. So if you might say something funny, but unless it has you need the punchline at the end.
Of course, yes.
So when you're chatting to friends, you don't have a punchline necessarily.
No.
You know, you just have
you said is a funny observation.
Yeah.
We're all giggling and
have a laugh.
It's communal and we're all together and we're all having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah. So when you bring it on stage, you just have to.
So 1, 2, 3 and you're ready and okay.
So lots of people you see when they're doing it the first time, it's funny. They're just not getting like the big belly laughs because they just need that little part of it then.
So do you find yourself thinking of the punchlines, they're going to sort of, you know, kick it out. You know, observations happen from day to day. But do you find yourself sort of technically thinking of how you're going to wrap things up or wrap up a certain notion?
Well, some jokes, like I'll think of on the spot and they're done. They're finished. And I don't have to think about them at all. And then other things that have happened in my life, I'm like, oh, I know that's funny, but I just can't think of how to make it a punchline. And then eventually I'll think of, if I'm separated for long enough, I'll think of it. Like my
reverse engineered, maybe.
Yeah, like my dog got pregnant when I got pregnant.
That's just ready. That's just rife with humor. But how to sell it to the audience?
So I was like, how can I bring this to be funny?
Like a stand up a bit.
Yeah, I was like, I know this is funny. This doesn't happen to people all the time. So I was like thinking about it. And I tried it a few times, but I try it out and then it's not happening. And I do it a few months later. So then recently what I've been doing is I've been talking about how people were comparing how good a mother my dog was compared to me. And, you know, people were like, oh, she's such a natural.
That's
so
really
attentive.
Smart. That's very good.
So then I ended with saying, like, I was kind of jealous of my dog. So we drowned the puppies. So that seemed people seemed to love that then, that I drowned the puppies. I was like, oh, okay, that's the level. So
what's the terrible experience that you had? Have you had a terrible experience?
Oh. Now, tell us about the nightmares, Emma.
So many.
Tell us about the worst nightmare. You did one quick bit, and I hate to, like, you know, summarize your material, but you're like, I had seen this one comedian, and she, like, basically she had a breakdown on stage. She wet herself. The MC had to drag her off stage. I typically tell this story in third person. You know, this is the
forgot about that joke.
So that's like a 1, 2, 3, 4. This is what you're describing. Yeah. So, like, here's the story, here's the punchline. That's really, really hard to do, and I have a great deal of respect for people that do it. And I wish I could. I just don't
Thank
have.
You.
I don't have the spine.
But I think you'd be one of those people. If you did it, you'd hit the ground running. You know what I mean?
We'd see. I don't know.
You know.
Tell me a tiny bit about hecklers and
hecklers.
Fun heckler experience.
Oh, well, there was a girl last night.
Just last night.
in Galway.
Very current.
I know. It's
like, no, I love it.
I don't keep track of it. And what was she doing? She was like wiggling on her chair or something.
Sweet.
And that's, I was like, what is your problem? Do you have thrush or something? And I knew by her look that she did.
Oh.
And then everyone in the audience thought, so that was kind of cool. I enjoyed that. I mean, you couldn't have planned for that. It's one of those nice moments that was just handed on the plate to me. So, you know.
Yeah, I think
it's a bit sort of intimate with the audience there.
The combat is like, we're going to have a laugh at your expense, or I'm going to have a laugh at your expense. Like, touche.
Oh, it was like, I mean, it was just, I had my suspicions, but I really didn't think she had thrush,
yeah,
you know.
Clearly, yeah.
Everyone avoided that stool afterwards.
Yeah.
It is communicable. Emma, we have a question from the audience. In fact, it's our very own Andrea Lorien. She aspires to do stand-up, and she's asked, yeah. Have you had, like, she's a female, wants to do a stand-up comedy. And
she's a female, love yeah. it.
As you do. And she said, she's asked you, did you find that you had to break through the bro wall in order to be accepted in the scene?
Yes and no. I think that it's kind of like what you were saying. It's such an individual thing that people that are involved in it aren't really that interested in whether you're male or female, because everyone's kind of, we're all just like weird little loners.
Right. Neurotic loners,
you know,
I believe you said. Well, neurotic lone wolves is, I believe, the term. Toby said,
oh, yeah.
Earlier.
You know, like, we're doing gigs when people are watching big football matches and stuff, you know what I mean? So there is yeah, like a little bit of the bro thing or whatever. But I think everyone who's starting has their own challenges.
Hey, Emma, I wanted to mention something. You wanted the Faith No More song.
Yes.
We Care a Lot.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted that for your play-in music, which I was really impressed by.
Oh, yeah.
So here's that tune, right? Have you ever played video games?
No, but like a little bit, like Sega Mega Drive kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, of course, sure. Yeah, we're talking more so about the Nintendo 64. You've seen these, though,
yes,
correct?
Yeah.
They know what it is. So here's Faith No More's We Care a Lot. Now, there is a very, very popular game called GoldenEye, and there's a level called Frigate. Here's the music from that level.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, a little bit of trivia out there for our gamers / fans of Faith No More. Toby, you knew what I was talking about immediately.
Yeah, I knew the game you were talking about. I'm not sure I draw the connection now, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Really? In comparison?
Yeah, I mean, it's there. It's there.
Faith No More. We care a lot. GoldenEye.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think you see the similarity?
Yeah, I see it.
Right. All right. So, Emma Doran doing the Tiger... Dublin Fringe Festival from the 9th. Is the 19th the preview? When is the preview?
Yeah, the 19th is the preview, yeah.
Right, and then it runs from what? Is there a break then, or?
No, it's just straight
it's
into
every
it
night.
Then, yeah.
And that's straight to the 24th?
24th. I think the 24th is a matinee.
Right, okay.
On the Saturday.
Okay, yeah, right. You're closing down the festival, is it?
Yeah.
Close on a freaking matinee. It's, yeah.
I know, yeah. I don't know. Why would it make?
It'll be fine. You wreck it. They'll all be afternoon drunk.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go and get me some alcohol after that.
Emma, did my producer Nina talk to you about a little thing called Pet Cemetery?
Yes, I heard about this. Yes.
How are you feeling about it at this moment in time?
I'm feeling okay.
Great. So, have you ever had a pet that died?
Yes.
You qualify. All right. So there's this little thing we call Pet Cemetery, in which we talk to a guest about a time that they've had a pet, and then that pet stopped being alive. And that's the only criterion. There you go. So it's this cathartic kind of like exploration of past events. It's about bringing it into the present, about being with it, about being you know, involved in the narrative, and about sharing that openly. And I think it's like basically like going to like, you know, an AA group, but for people who own pets that are now dead. And it's an internet web, a radio version of that.
I'm just laughing through the pain, you know what I mean?
That's the whole idea. Yeah. And so it's a dark humor, kind of cathartic way of dealing with it, with a very, very dark chapter of your life. Now, if you're willing to do so, I would love to invite you to visit the Pet Cemetery with us. I'd like to thank our producer, Nina, for reminding me, which is something that has to happen routinely, month after month. So if you're willing to travel there with us, then I'd love to take a stroll down the crooked path with you, down to the Pet Cemetery. All right, and all right, here we go.
I don't want to be buried in a pet cemetery.
we talking about my pet now? Okay.
Be brave.
Okay. So it was my first pet. It was Snowy the rabbit. And we didn't buy Snowy. We didn't get Snowy from a pet shop. We found her. Which is unusual for a rabbit, I'll be honest. I think somebody moved house and they left behind their rabbit kind of thing. But we had Snowy for, a long time. Good few years anyway. And then we moved house and she came to the new house and everything. And then one day, Snowy was out in the back garden and she kind of keeled over to the side and... I assume that's not laughter, that's an explosion of tears. So my mum was a nurse, so obviously she knew, and we thought Snowy had a heart attack. Now Snowy obviously didn't go to the vet. This was like early 90s, that was too expensive. So then the next day, Snowy died while I was at school. And I came home and my mum said to me, she said, "Oh, Emma, I have something to tell you." And I said in a real dramatic way, I said, I know, Snowy's dead. Snowy's dead. And Snowy was dead. So we buried Snowy. I say she. No, Snowy was a boy. I don't think we ever knew. It's too hard to tell with rabbits. Their bums are so small.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. The dissection.
So I'm pretty sure we buried Snowy in the garden. Did we? Oh, we did. And... or no, maybe my dad took her up the mountains. I mean, I don't know. That's the truth. I know we buried my... I know we buried my cat in the garden, but I don't know about Snowy. And yeah, that was that. I was very upset because that was my first pet and it was a very nice rabbit. So I had an L stroke or something and then the next day popped its clogs.
That's a deep experience.
All right, Pet Cemetery with Emma Doran. Snowy the rabbit, the transgendered / non-gendered rabbit who's maybe buried in the garden, maybe buried in the mountains. I'm not exactly sure. Who gives a shit?
But instead of
we don't know if we found it in the middle of fucking nowhere or if it was in a house.
We
don't know
euphemism.
Where we found it. We don't know where we buried it.
Where did they go? Up to the mountains.
Yeah, right. We don't know. We had a dog once, and it got sick, and then we found a farm, and they had a lot of room on that farm, and they could give that dog a good life.
Yeah.
That kind of
There's
scene.
Lots of those farms around, isn't there?
Yeah, and then we're in the habit of giving our guests a gift on the show, and I hope you're not bashful, hold on.
Okay.
So we have a branded gift basket for you.
Wow.
All right, look, it's the show colors. It's totally branded.
Wow.
It's the most branded thing I've ever done.
That's amazing.
That's for you. Go ahead.
That's very heavy.
Yeah, go ahead and... Yeah, well, that's what she said. Go ahead and go through...
Oh, wow.
The objects.
Look at this.
We got...
Liga, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Any other objects in there?
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. There's a chance there's one more? There's anything else?
What's the other thing?
I can't possibly conjure up what it might be. You know what? When you're male and you're buying those three objects at the same time, you get it's not the same like kind of jovial tone that a female might get from the cashier. It's not as sweet.
Did you buy all three of these at the same time?
Yes, I can't believe
that's amazing.
I can't believe it's not an internet
best
thing now
ever.
To sort of buy random crazy shit and then try and take a picture. Of the cashier.
You're ahead of the time.
You go past.
You're ahead of your time, Domi. You're a visionary.
I've invented a thing now.
I can't help. I must admit that I did take a photograph of the cashier and like an older man, like it was at Tesco, and he was like holding up a shirt, and the cashier was doing her diligent duty, and there were these three objects on the conveyor belt. You know.
Nice.
Yeah. it was a high point. So all right.
The show should have been called a lot worse now.
See, I presume that as I did it, I think I was like, as we were talking about reverse engineering jokes, I thought that maybe that's where it came from. That you looked at your shopping list and you're like, holy shit, I need, baby food, lubricant, and something to get me drunk.
That was kind of what it was. So I wanted to put that on the poster, but I couldn't put brands.
That's a lot of words.
I couldn't put brands on the poster. Yeah. I had like me with a shopping basket, but I couldn't use that.
I mean, Liga is a very specific thing. In fact, I had to learn how to say it earlier today. You could have said whatever. Yeah, baby food, whatever. Sexual lubricant and gin, but then again, it doesn't really...
Maybe it's a very Irish thing, is it?
Liga's not... I didn't know what the fuck it was. I typed it into Google. And as I told you, I found out about the Spanish Soccer League.
Yeah. So. No, I think most Irish people would know Liga, because even friends of mine would come to my house and they're like, oh, you have Liga. Can I have some? You know, like people that don't have kids.
They had the recall on them because babies were choking on it when it was, they were eating it dry. Do you know about that whole thing? You don't? So if you type in just Liga, the top three hits and .ie, Google, are like there was a recall because there were like women, mothers were putting it into their babies' mothers. So they put it into their baby's mouths, yeah, and dry, and there was a choking hazard because it didn't soften up.
That conjures a terrible picture. You know, you're jamming these crackers into a baby's mouth.
Jam face.
I mean, if you ever have Liga, you don't need to attempt, like, don't try and attempt that without a drink. You know, it's like.
You have to soften it.
For you or for the baby?
Both.
The baby.
Oh, right.
Yeah, both.
So you knew about this.
Oh, I knew. I was wise to this.
Yeah,
already.
Well before the recall happened. You don't need a nanny state. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, I got this. Yeah.
She's Emma Doran. She is live at the International as part of the Dublin Fringe Festival on September 19th to 24th. You can get your tickets at fringefest.com. 13 quid, 11 for a concession. What the fuck is concession? Because that's outside of Ireland. I don't know what the hell that means.
I think you should just, if you're getting tickets, you should just try the 11 option.
Right. So tickets are 11 euro. They're like, not if you're older, you know. Do you have a student card?
If you have some sort of card of some description, just go for it. That's what I would do.
Student card from 10 years ago. Are you 9 years old? Anything.
Yeah.
Give it a whirl.
All right. Thank you so very, very much for coming on in.
Thank you so much.
No, it's been a really nice time. And we're going to do another 10-minute segment, and then we're going to head back into the green room. You want to hang out for another 10 minutes, or is this goodbye?
No, I'm going to hang out. I'm going to 10 to 15 minutes. My drink.
10 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'll finish
Which Toby
drink.
Poured for you, the old lush.
Yeah, terrible.
He looks a bit haggard, Emmett. Have you seen this?
Now I've become haggard.
Yeah, right.
But he's kind of like a friendly, warm face, yet haggard. You know what I mean?
he's the bum you're not afraid of.
Yeah, they're the most dangerous ones.
The second you let your guard down, everybody.
Yeah.
Just ignore the pigeons.
I'm adoring everyone here on Unfixed. Right, Emma Doran told me. Yeah. Holy crap.
That was exciting. I was trying to desperately think of things to say.
Okay. You felt you
I was a bit starstruck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think that's what happened?
Maybe.
All right. So, yeah, the celebrity is a tiny bit overwhelming for the Toby.
Yeah. Sometimes we have people that I just don't know how to deal with.
Like Jason Bourne?
Like Jason Bourne. I had no words for him.
You basically just told him he was just full of shit and he had nothing useful to say. He got really sad. He did. You don't know.
How do you know who you are?
Yeah, no, and that's a valid question. You know, how does one know where they are? So, all right. So we're post-guest here on Unfixed. We are pushing about an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. We're really rocking it this time.
It's long. It's a long show.
Yeah, so I'm looking for some kind of Halloween-based...
Okay. Theory of evolution. Awesome. Okay, so here's the thesis statement. Awesome skeletons could never get from place to place on their own, and that's why muscles and hearts and brains and all that developed, is to get cool, wicked-looking, mean-ass cool skeletons to get them the opportunity to be able to walk among us, walk wherever they want.
This is the Halloween-based... theory of evolution.
Yeah, you really, you know, I'm going to get you in touch with the publisher. I'm thinking about ditching my book and having you just go ahead and write my chapters and send them on in.
It's been enough years now that maybe just a breath of fresh air.
You ready?
Breath of dead air?
Breath of, right, of course. So, Toby, at this time of the night, you know, it's a bit dark outside.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit tender in terms of nervous systems are a bit on edge.
Gentle embrace of the night.
Mm-hmm. And maybe the breeze is blowing a tiny bit dark. a tiny bit frightening, a tiny bit scary.
I just don't know what to say. I mean, it's possibly time for the scary news.
The what?
The scary news.
The scary news. Scary news, everybody. This is the scary news for late August, maybe described as early September. The beginning of fall. The terrifying.
The late spring.
The undocumented. Wait, the what? The late spring? The late spring. Woo! Okay, so Toby, just to let you know that here on the scary news for August, late August into September, that we will be taking a brief journey around our globe. We are headed first to New Hampshire. A police officer in New Hampshire broke a car window in order to rescue a baby. According to WMUR, Keene Police Officer Lieutenant Jason Short rushed to find what appeared to be an infant wrapped in cloth while responding to a call about a baby in a hot car in a Walmart parking lot.
The old hot baby.
It was draped with a light blanket, and I could see little feet out. With a non-soled shoes and a bottle of milk, short to WCVP. He then smashed the car's window with his baton and attempted to breathe into the dead and lifeless body. And I went to put my finger in its mouth and it was all resistance, he said. And I'm like, this is a doll.
This is an entirely sexual story.
The reborn doll, owned by Carolyn Streifart, which Short rescued, was named Ainsley, is valued at more than $2,000, which is intensely scary. Streifart owns about 40 of the dolls. Multiply 40 by 2,000. Tell me that figure there, mathematician guy.
Like 80,000. What?
80 grand? Yeah, right. Which she pronounced to cope with the loss of her son, which humanizes and therefore dehumans the situation.
40 baby children as dolls.
I've been laughed at and embarrassed by all the fuss. You can't know how people choose to deal with their losses in life, she said. I feel bad for making fun of this person now.
Yeah, you can't ask how people deal with it.
Police offered to pay for the damage to Streifart's car, and she placed a bumper sticker on her car explaining the doll is not a real baby. I would never assume it's a doll, he said. I would always assume it's a child. I would never do anything different. Let's travel halfway around the world via airship. Australia. Mm-hmm. A semi-truck hauling a load of live chickens in Australia lost its cargo at an appropriate location just outside a KFC restaurant. Jessica Carter posted a video to Facebook showing live chickens being rounded up and returned to their crates at about 2 p.m. Tuesday just outside the KFC in the Melbourne suburb of Bacchus Park.
This sounded like some kind of Bond villain kind of situation with a giant vacuum cleaner outside the KFC sucking the chickens into the KFC.
People were joking about it, saying KFC won't have to pluck their chickens at least now. How the fuck does that make sense? People won't have to pluck their chickens. So like live, full-bodied, feathered chickens show up outside KFC, or at least they won't have to pluck them now. How the fuck does that make sense?
Yeah, that's the logistics step that they were making there.
Carter, a vegan, described the location of the incident as poignant. It truly was just one of those terrible coincidences, she said. A Victoria police spokesman confirmed four crates of chickens fell off the truck Tuesday. Bacchus police, Marsh police responded to assist with the cleanup efforts.
The chickens were slightly upset.
A KFC representative said that the chicken truck was not associated with the company. These chickens were not destined for KFC and were not linked to our supply chain, the representative told the Melbourne Herald Sun.
They weren't the Colonel's chickens.
KFC supplied chicken through the three largest suppliers of chicken in Australia. And those suppliers have high standards for bird welfare to assure that chickens are healthy and comfortable, the representative said. We acquire all of our chicken supplies to strictly follow the moral code of practice for the welfare of animals, domestic poultry.
Fantastic Australian accent there, Adam.
Yeah? I've been rehearsing it. I think I'm thinking of moving there.
It's not a bad place.
I just want to fit in. It's the giant bugs, and it's the terrifying, like, you know, phantoms that scare you across the marsh as you run back to your childhood home that are actually keeping me away.
Like every country that you live to, you get used to the demons.
Like, one time I was walking through the cemetery next to my house very late at night, and a light started following me, and then I ran all the way to the hole in the fence, ran all the way to my basement and looked out through the porch window and saw the light turn off, and like it haunted me for months. In adulthood, I realized it was just somebody walking with a flashlight. They turned it off later.
In the graveyard next to your house.
In the graveyard next to my house. So, and yeah, with October coming up, we're gonna have some scary shows coming up. We've got some people on the radar. We've got the snake charmer woman.
And the graveyard next to our radio show.
Wait, where's that?
Yeah, it's about at 96 megahertz.
All right. So wait, there's a graveyard broadcasting 24 hours a day. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. And so if you hear white noise, that's the sound of the graveyard.
I do not understand what you're saying right now.
Like if it's like shh.
Right. Okay.
That's the sound of horror.
Right. So that's what horror sounds like. So if you ever hear some kind of just like some hissing sound or something like that,
be afraid.
Yeah, you should believe that it's what, just a ghost broadcast?
A ghost trying to broadcast. I mean, they don't have the technology yet, but maybe in a few hundred years.
Right. Thank you for listening to Unfixed. We'll be back in potentially another show in September. Most likely one in early October. We thank Emmador and our guest for being a part of the show. If you hear any kind of like loud hissing things, please report them to us or your local authorities, and keep yourself safe. Don't be any parting words for our guests.